Where'd she go? She left. Now she's back. Ashley Byers is back, and we're so happy to have her. And with that, we're going to open the song, first song, with me singing, just to make her mad. No, anyway. Y'all join in if you know this one. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel the loss, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a train breaker.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. Yes, there is. There's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
If you believe it,
if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
You receive it.
If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's with.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Garner United Methodist Church. We're Journey of Grace Band. Wanted to remind you that there's pew pads at the end of each row. Please sign those so we can welcome you, and your neighbors will know that you're here. And also, we're going to be selling, this is the last Sunday, the Mamandy concert tickets. The concert's next Sunday at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $10. When can you go to Mamandy Hall for $10? And children 10 and under are free. I'll be out here in the hallway selling tickets after church.
Still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in.
To go to Children's Church and enjoy some time of fellowship with other little ones and learning about the Word. And they're always welcome to stay as well. Lord, this morning we want to thank you for your grace. We want to thank you that your grace is like rain, Lord, that pours all over us.
God, we all know it's the season of March Madness. Beyond that, God, beyond basketball, beyond tournaments, there's life. And sometimes life is madness, God. Sometimes there are things that drag us down or bring us down. Lord, we just look to you. We call your name, God, and we need you. And God, we worship you. We know that you're here with us right now. You're in this place. And God, we just want to honor your name and always be mindful that you are great and holy and made everything that we are and that it is in this world. And that just blows my mind. It's amazing. So, Lord, I pray for all the folks here and all the folks that aren't here that you will just look down on us. And God, that we will have repentant hearts, clean hearts, and hearts that long for you, and that you will bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother and Christian Love, say good morning. Thank you.
Okay, you guys are just relentless. I don't know where they even come up with Michigan State buttons from, but you know what? My eyes are going to be fixed on Jesus today. So, and also the Bible in one place says this, it says that he who puts on his armor must not boast as one who takes it off. You can sort that one out as you're driving home today, and all of a sudden you'll say, aha, we get the meaning. We're going to go into the Word of God now, okay? And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15. So if you will follow with me, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 8. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then the passage continues and Jesus says, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, we know Luke 15. Luke 15 is one of the most beloved chapters in all of the Bible. We're drawn to this chapter because we see this amazing breadth and depth of God's love. It's a love that never gives up on us. It's a love that searches after us. It's a love that reminds us that it loves us so much we can't do anything to stop God from loving us. So because of that, we love this passage. I have preached on this passage many, many times. You've heard this passage many, many times, haven't you? In fact, I've probably preached it more times than any other passage in the Bible. Well, the context is this. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were very unhappy with Jesus. Jesus was hanging out with some very bad characters. And this is not what good religious people did in that day, kind of the birds of a feather. Particularly, religious leaders did not hang out with these types of folks. And so the Pharisees are upset with Jesus because he's not just welcoming bad people. He is having fellowship. He is sharing a meal with the worst of the worst of the worst. They're tax collectors there. Do you know about tax collectors? We're not talking about the IRS, okay? We're talking about folks who had betrayed and rejected their Jewish faith in order to work for the Roman occupation forces and extort money from their fellow Jews to give to the nation that was oppressing them. So they were absolutely traitors to their people. It would be like, some American joining ISIS. That's what they would be looked at, just the worst of the worst. And then the text just says that he was eating with sinners. Now, you can fill in the blanks there, but again, the emphasis here is just these were bad people. These were folks that you really shouldn't be caught out in public with. So this doesn't make any sense to the Pharisees. So Jesus speaks directly to them to try to help them understand why it is that he is associating with these horrible people. Now, we are so familiar with this passage, and we love this passage. And we're sitting there as Jesus is talking about God's love, and we're saying, yes, tell them about it. This great assurance of God's never-ending grace. But as I got ready to prepare for today's lesson, I realized something. I have preached Luke 15 my whole ministry. In the 30-plus years that I've been preaching, I've preached this passage at least 15 times. Probably I've preached Luke 15 more than that. I've preached it on different continents. But here's the interesting thing that I noticed as I was preparing this one. I have preached about the lost sheep, and I have preached about the lost son. In fact, I preached back-to-back messages on those last year. But I've never preached about the lost coin. And I thought about that for a little while, and I realized, well, it just doesn't preach as well as the other two. It doesn't have the emotional impact. It's not as easy to prepare a sermon about a lost coin as it is a lost sheep or a lost son. When I was in elementary school, my kitty cat went missing. Now, any of you ever had a pet that went missing? It's terrible, isn't it? And when you're 9 years old, it was just overwhelming, and I was despondent about it. My sister and I were scouring the neighborhood for about 2 or 3 days, and we were standing in the backyard hollering as loud as we could, "Here, kitty, 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 kitty." So it was a horrible time for us. Well, the cat had been gone about 3 days, and we drove up to the house one afternoon, and I got out of the car, and I heard this weak little meow coming from under the house next to one of the vents. Our cat had gone under the house when the door was open and had been trapped in there for about 3 days. Well, the cat was okay, and there was this amazing celebration. We were so happy. We were so filled with joy to get the cat back. So that makes it easy to celebrate with the shepherd when the lost sheep is found. We've also had kids that have gone through crisis. We have kids that have caused us tremendous fear and anxiety. A few years ago, my son was in the hospital with viral meningitis. That was bad enough, but he started to have complications, and he started to have difficulty breathing, and he was starting to get very, very frightened. And at one point, he looked at his mom and me, and he asked, he said, "Am I going to die?" And this is where I got my Father of the Year award. This was the place. I said, "Of course not, son. You're not even in ICU. 5 minutes later, oh, yeah. Doctor comes in and says, "We're going to have to move him to the step-down unit in ICU. So it was a tough week. When we got to the end of that week and he finally turned the corner and we were able to take him home, there was tremendous joy. You know what that's like. There's so much relief when your child comes out of crisis. You guys know about that. There's so much relief when your child comes out of crisis so we can experience and understand the joy of the father in the story of the prodigal son when he gets his son back. Now, we can also relate to the story of the lost coin. Does anybody here share my tremendous ability for losing things? Car keys, wallet, cell phone. I tell you, the week I was preparing this passage, I lost my car. That's no lie. I had to go downtown in Raleigh and help somebody with something. And I followed him in, I parked my car in a parking deck. And I came out, I couldn't remember what parking deck I was in. It made for a really long morning of walking around. And I had that old Mazda that I drive, 2000, so you can't press a button and make the horn blow. This is all visual contact that you're dealing with. I'm great at losing things. And a number of years back, you've heard me talk about my buddy, Ben Sharp, who's the Anglican priest. He and I had a day where we decided to swap some stuff. And I swapped him a gun for a 1912 $5 gold Indian head coin. And I was so happy about that. And I put this coin away thinking, someday, this thing's really going to be worth something. It's in great condition. Well, we moved from Saxbaha to Fayetteville, and one day I decided to look for that coin. So I pulled open the drawer where I remembered wrapping the coin in toilet tissue and placing it, and the coin was gone. I looked everywhere I could think to possibly look, and my $5 1912 Indian head gold coin had vanished. Over the years, I would talk with Beth, and I would just wonder, you know, I wonder how much that coin would be worth now. Well, after living in Fayetteville, we moved to Clayton. We lived there 12 years. We moved to Holly Springs, and one day I'm in the backyard. Beth walks out. She's been going through some old files, and she finds this coin that has been gone for nearly two decades. Wasn't worth as much as I had hoped it would be worth, but it was still happy. But here's the thing. Emotionally, it didn't come close to the impact that finding my lost cat had had on me, and it certainly didn't approach the joy and relief that I felt when I was able to bring my son home from the hospital. So that's why this parable gets overlooked and forgotten. It simply doesn't have the ability to move you emotionally that the other two do. It's just not as easy to preach. But you know, for some reason, Jesus thought it was important enough to include this in this section of three stories. So there must be something unique about this parable. Even though it parallels the story of the lost sheep, there must be something unique about it that makes it important for Jesus to have included it. So let's unpack this. Number one, if you've got your study guides, pull it out, take notes. There will be a test. Not really. Number one, unlike the coin, the sheep and the son were aware they were lost. Now, there's a difference, of course, in the self-awareness between the sheep and the son, but the sheep would have certainly been aware that something wasn't right. Sheep are herd animals. For her to find herself alone in the wilderness would have been a terribly confusing and frightening experience for her. The lost sheep reached a point of absolute desperation. When he reached the brink of starvation, he realized, you know, I'm lost. This is bad. So the sheep and the son are both aware that something's terribly wrong. They know that they're lost. Many of us had that experience, that awareness of suddenly, you know what, things are really out of place in my life. I am just lost. I remember, and that's what has caused many of us to cry out to Jesus. One of my really vivid memories in high school, I was riding around with a buddy of mine one night, and we had been drinking, and we had been doing some drugs, and I was just a mess. I was really messed up. And what made it worse is I was in the back seat of this little Volkswagen, and the guy that was driving was just a terrible driver to start with. I mean, he was a horrible driver. He got his license before the rest of us did. And by the time the rest of us had our licenses, he'd already had several bump-ups. I mean, this is no lie. He had to duct tape the headlamp of his car back on, and he duct taped other parts of his car because he kept bumping into things. So I'm riding around with this kid that can't drive, who's drunk, and all of a sudden, it was like everything just went dark in my spirit. And I realized how far I was from God. And I started praying, and I said, God, whatever you do, please don't let me die in this condition. Don't let me die in this condition. I was terrified we were going to have an accident. But in my mind, the darkness wasn't just the night. I saw the darkness within me, and it was terrifying. But I knew. I was aware. I felt lost. Now, here's where the second parable is different. The coin had no self-awareness. The coin was not aware that it was lost. The woman in the story knew the coin was lost, but the coin had no clue that it was lost. In the world, there are those who have absolutely no awareness that they're lost. Maybe they have killed their consciences, but there are people who seem to have no remorse and no sense of knowledge that there's actually a God. So when they act in ways that are in open rebellion to the grace and truth of God, they just don't have any awareness of it. I'm going to give you something that seems to me to be an example of that. From the very beginning of Christianity, the church has always been pro-life. It's just a fact. That's where the church has always been. As a matter of fact, from the first century, we have teachings that were given to the church. The teachings of the 12 apostles, one of them is called. It's the Didache. It was actually an anonymous document that was written but circulated quite widely. And it says this. It was teachings for the church. It says, you shall not murder a child by abortion or kill that which is born. Now, I'll be honest with you. I reacted in horror at some of the legislation that I saw come out of New York recently regarding late-term abortions. And one of the things that I read as I did some research on this that was particularly disturbing for me was what to be done in the event that a live birth was the result of such a procedure. The law had previously stated that such child shall be accorded immediate legal protection under the laws of the state of New York. The law then directed doctors to maintain records of all life-sustaining efforts put forth for such a child. Well, that language was removed in the new law. So that restraint, that provision, that dictate for doctors was gone. And I watched in horror as the governor signed this bill and people cheered. And then they lit up the World Trade Towers in pink. And I thought to myself, they don't have a clue. And it was like these people have no awareness that they're lost. They're people who have no idea that they're living, as Paul would say, as enemies of God. There are people who can do really, really bad things and still think that they're really, really good people. Number two, the value of the lost coin is in the image that it bears. In your notes, there's a picture of a denarius. This is the coin that scholars believe is the coin in question in this passage. In Luke 20, Jesus is questioned about paying taxes to Caesar, and a lot of Jews didn't want to do this. Jesus said this to them, "Show me a denarius whose image and inscription are on it." "Caesar's," they replied. So stay with me. The reason that little piece of metal would have any value at all is because it bore the image of Caesar. If it doesn't have that image, then there is no real value to it. It bore the image of Caesar. Now, the value of human life is that we bear the image of God. This is established in the first chapter of Genesis. In Genesis 1:26, in the creation story, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image." Here's what the Pharisees don't get, okay? Here's what they're missing. The tax collectors, the traitors, the worst of the worst, the sinners still have value because they're made in the image of God. That image is broken. It's distorted just like it is in me, just like it is in you, but the image is still there. In that image, Jesus can see what we were created to be and what he still dreams we can become. So Jesus was not just being sweet and using good manners to these terrible people. Jesus loved them so much that despite the fact that they were bad people, he could still see the image of God, and that was worth dying for Jesus. No matter what they had done, he could still see that image of God, and he was going to die in an effort to redeem those people. Number three, this realization that the image of God is in all of us should guard us from behaving like the Pharisees. I mean, you know what? It's easy to behave like the Pharisees, isn't it? It's easy to get that self-righteous indignation. It's easy to look down at other people, the modern day tax collectors and sinners. It's easy to forget that we're all broken and we all stand in need of the same grace of Christ. You know, I'll be frank with you, I'm a lot more like a Pharisee than I am like Jesus. You know, what I was sharing with you about the politicians in New York, I've got to admit to you, I didn't just feel disdain for their actions, I actually felt hatred toward them. I actually responded to them really in the same way that the Pharisees responded to the tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus had to confront me on that as I was preparing this message. And Jesus had to confront me with the fact that those are still people that he is searching after. Those are still people like the tax collectors and sinners in Luke that bear the image of God, and he is willing to die for them. That's how much he loves them. And so I kind of had to shift gears at that point and say, well, Jesus, if you love them that much, despite what they've done, and he loves me despite what I've done, then I'm just going to stop, and while I'm going through this sermon, I'm going to spend time praying for them. Because once I do that, I know that my heart is going to be linked more completely with your heart. Because Christ sees the image of God, and it is so valuable that no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, Christ is going to die for us. Now, when we understand that, we have a tremendous responsibility. Because we've got an amazing message that we have to share. Here's the responsibility. This shifts toward us at this point. Those who are already in the fold, the sheep that have been found, the son that's been welcomed home, this is the responsibility that happens. Number four, we are to be a light for the lost. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What does the woman do in the passage? What does she do? She lights a lamp, and she begins to clean her house. To get her house in order in this search for the coin. So this is what it means to us. Letter A, we must be a people of purity. The woman cleans the house. I mean, we hear that phrase, get your house in order, right? Well, that applies to the church. That implies to individual Christians. We should be different. In the way we act, in the way we talk, in the way we live, there should be a difference. You know, if there's not, we don't give the world any reason at all to think that Jesus is worth anything. The command that Paul makes to Timothy is one that's relevant for us. Don't let anyone look down on you because you were young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, if we're no different than the world, it says that Jesus isn't going to change anybody. In fact, if we claim to be followers of Jesus and we're not different, then you know what? It's going to turn people off to Jesus. In 1997, as I was preparing to plant a new church in Clayton, North Carolina, I went to a conference that was being held at a hotel in the area. And this was part of the training and getting ready to do this. Bunch of clergy there. A number of them were staying overnight in the hotel. At the end of the final session, this woman stood up and she gave this very impassioned plea. She said, I was at a clergy conference at another hotel not long ago, and the guy that was working at the front desk, we got in a conversation with him, several of us did, and we began to witness to him. We began to share with him about Jesus, and he became very fascinated. And we spent a long time talking with him, sharing with him about faith, and we asked him if he was ready to give his life to Christ. And he said, you know, let me think about it through the night. Let me reflect on this and kind of think through all of this stuff that you've been talking with me about. The next morning, they could not wait to get back to that desk to have more conversation with the fellow. He would barely even speak to them. And they were baffled because they'd had such an incredible interaction with him the night before, so they began to press him just a little bit. And all he did was pull out a printout from the night before with all of these clergy in the hotel and put it in front of them of all of the pastors who had purchased in-room pornography that night. And this guy walked away from Jesus because the Christians were no different than the world. We are to be different. And one of the ways we're to be different, letter B, we must be a people of deep love. Let us love not in words, but in actions, the Bible tells us. That means when we begin to question what love is, we look at God. When we look at God, we look at Jesus. When we look at Jesus, we see love. We see the cross. We see that love means sacrifice. That's our heritage. We are to be a people of deep love and deep compassion. And sometimes that's going to be costly. In the Roman world in which the early church was born, infanticide was a common practice. An infant could be abandoned. It was perfectly legal. There was no social stigma about it. If you felt like you had too many children, you could take the infant, leave it on the garbage dump. If the child had a disability, a Down syndrome child, for instance, or if the child was illegitimate, people would just take infants and leave them. Now, a lot of those infants died of exposure. But some of them faced a fate even worse than that, because sometimes people would rescue them to raise them as a slave. Other people would rescue them to raise them so that they could traffic them in their brothels later in life. Well, at this time, the early church did not have any power. The early church had no political influence whatsoever. But the early church had one thing. The early church had love. And what the culture deemed as expendable, the church said, no, that is the image of God. Lying there on that trash heap, that is the image of God. And so the early Christians would go out and they would rescue these children from death, from slave traders, from brothels. They would rescue these babies and they would raise them as their own. In the end, we have a God who searches. A God who searched for you. Even at your furthest point of rebellion, God didn't give up looking for you. He didn't give up looking for me. And believe me, He kept coming and kept coming and kept coming for me. And you know, He wants us to join in the search. Where is it that you can demonstrate the love of Jesus to somebody else? Where is it, not with a judgmental, condescending attitude, but where is it that with compassion and with the heartbeat of Jesus that you can reach out to somebody who's hurting, somebody that's lost, somebody that may not even know they need God? Where is it that we can show that the image of God stamped into every human being means something special? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, we thank You that You love us so much, that You have saved us, that You have forgiven us. Father, let us be people who mirror that same grace. Let us be people who long for the sheep to come home, for the coin to be found, for the son to be rescued. And let us be those who with the angels of heaven celebrate when one lost person comes back to You. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
everything comes down to love, then just what am I afraid of? When I call out your name, something inside awakes in my soul, and how quickly I forget I'm yours. I'm not my own, I've been carried by you. Oh, everything rides on fate somehow. And when the world has broken me down, yeah, your love sets me free.
There are no announcements that I know of today, so I think that we're good. I hope y'all have a wonderful and blessed week. It was so great to be back worshiping with y'all this morning. We hope to see you back next Sunday here in our jog service. Y'all have a wonderful and blessed week.
You got pain. Here's a pain.